Chapter 11. Union and Reunions. I accompanied my aunt on a visit to her house near Dover. On the way back, I stopped in Canterbury to see Agnes. When I arrived at Mr. Wickfield's office, I saw my old friend, Mr. Micawber. "Are you enjoying your work here?" I asked.
"Very much, my dear Copperfield," he replied.
"Do you see much of Mr. Wickfield?"
"No, Mr. Heap is in charge now. Mr. Wickfield isn't able to work very much nowadays," answered Mr. Micawber.
"Perhaps that's because of his partner," I remarked sarcastically.
"Copperfield, you are my very good friend, and you have helped me on many occasions, but please understand that there are things which I cannot discuss with you," Mr. Micawber said.
It seemed that Uriah Heep also controlled my friend. I then went to visit Agnes, and I told her about Dora and about her father's death. Later, I had dinner at the Wickfields' house, and noticed that Uriah Heep filled Mr. Wickfield's wine glass whenever it became empty. As the evening went on, Mr. Wickfield became more and more drunk. Then Uriah Heep suddenly announced,
"Let's drink to Agnes, your beautiful daughter, and the woman I hope will soon be my wife."
Mr. Wickfield was furious. He stood up, his face red with anger, and shouted,
"You have ruined me, and now you want to take my daughter from me! You are evil, Heap, evil!"
Uriah Heap did not react at all. Mr. Wickfield sat down again and put his head in his hands. Agnes helped her father gently to his feet. "You are not well, Father. Come with me," she said, and she took him to his room. Having witnessed this, I left Canterbury the following day with a feeling of great sadness. One evening, shortly after my return to London from Canterbury, a woman passed me on my way home from work. Her face looked familiar, and I watched her as she walked towards a man who was sitting on the steps of a church. I couldn't believe my eyes. The man was Mr. Peggotty, and the woman was Martha, Emily's friend, who had run away to London. I walked up to them immediately.
"Master Davy, how good it is to see you before I leave once again," said Mr. Peggotty.
"Again?"
"Yes, I must go. I'm still looking for Emily and that man. I even went to France, but I couldn't find them anywhere. I returned to Yarmouth, and there was a letter there from Emily. She said that she was sorry for everything that had happened, and she asked if Ham still loved her. I'm very worried. She needs me more than ever. The letter was posted from a town in Germany. Now I must go there and find her."
"How are things in Yarmouth?" I asked. "How is Ham?"
"He never speaks about Emily. He works hard so he won't have to think about her, and he always volunteers for the dangerous jobs on the fishing boat," said Mr. Peggotty. "Each of us tries to solve our problems in a different way, Master Davy. That's why I'm leaving tomorrow. I'll walk 10,000 miles just to find Emily."
Dora went to live with two of her aunts after her father's death. Mr. Spenlow apparently had not been as rich as he had said, and Dora was left with very little money. I decided to ask Dora's aunt for permission to marry her. At Agnes's suggestion, I wrote to them and asked whether I could meet them. After some time, a letter arrived inviting me to their house. Miss Lavinia Spenlow and Miss Clarissa Spenlow received me and asked me numerous questions. In the end, they agreed that I could come and visit Dora. Once again, I had the chance to see the love of my life. One day, Agnes and Mr. Wickfield came to London to visit their old friend, Dr. Strong. As usual, Uriah Heep was with them. I took Agnes to meet Dora and her aunts. Dora and Agnes immediately became friends and decided to write to each other after Agnes returned to Canterbury. I was now 21 years old. I had left both my jobs and was working for a newspaper reporting debates in Parliament. I also wrote articles, which appeared regularly in magazines. I earned enough money to move to a small house in London, which was bigger, and gave me, my aunt, and Mr. Dick more privacy. Soon, however, my aunt and Mr. Dick would need to move again. Why? Because Dora and I were going to be married. Aunt Betsy and Dora's aunts began to look for furniture for us, and Peggotty came to help us arrange the house. At last our wedding day arrived. We had all waited so long for this moment. As I looked around the church and saw so many familiar faces, Aunt Betsy, Mr. Dick, Peggotty, Traddles, and Agnes, I could hardly believe it was really happening. Dora's aunts cried, and Aunt Betsy couldn't hide the tears in her eyes. Dora looked beautiful. I was very proud that she was now my wife. It was wonderful to always be with Dora. However, looking after the house was not easy for her. We employed several maids, but each of them took advantage of Dora's innocence and kindness. Our first maid had no idea of time and always served our meals late and usually cold. Another one wore Dora's hats whenever she went out shopping. The last one was an alcoholic who bought alcohol with our money. Even the shopkeepers knew that if they tried to trick us, Dora wouldn't suspect anything. However, I could never get angry with Dora, because her innocence was one of the things that made me love her. Several months after our wedding, we discovered that Dora was expecting a baby. However, to our great sadness, we lost the baby soon afterwards, and Dora became very ill. Aunt Betsy visited us every day. Dora eventually became so weak that I had to carry her downstairs every morning and upstairs every evening. I had been married about a year when I happened to be walking through the Steerforth neighborhood, thinking about the first book I was going to write. As I walked past the Steerforth's house, the maid recognized me. She called me inside, because Steerforth's servant had news of Emily.
After they left Yarmouth, he told me, Mr. Steerforth and the girl visited many countries. At first they got on well together, but then they began to have arguments. Eventually, Mr. Steerforth left. He said he would return in a couple of days, but he never came back. When the girl realized this, she was furious and disappeared. She hasn't been seen nor heard of since, and I haven't seen Mr. Steerforth since he left either.
When I left Mrs. Steerforth's house, I was very worried about Emily and hoped she was safe.